B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
A very, very deliberate Chris Sale here in the first inning.
What?
And he struck him out. And the left-hander from Lakeland, Florida with a 2-2. Put him away again. He strikes him out. That was 91 with the four-seamer, but seven strikeouts.
Yeah, again, a lot of his fastballs that have been upstairs today have gone as for swings and misses.
Obviously, velocity wasn't there. He struggled with command, but after that, he found it. You know, it's not where fastball-wise everybody hope he is, but he gave us seven.
I'll check the book. I've done it quite a bit.
While we were all busy this weekend paying attention to the Bruins on Saturday night and then watching the Celtics in their statement win yesterday in Milwaukee, while that was happening, Chris Sale was getting rocked over at Fenway Park. Again.
Microscope. Thank you. Thank you, Chris Sale. We spent 20 years now with Tom Brady, right? You ever remember a dip or an 0-2 or 1-3 start where after a game, Brady told the press to go check the books and we'll be all right because we usually figure things out by the end of November.
No, not we. Me.
Yeah. Well, we're checking the books now. The nice thing about your sport there is it's a statistically based sport to where you go back and it's analytics and you can look at splits and you look at games and all that. So we just pulled up the books on Chris Sale. So that's what we do because that's what he tells us to do after losses is to go check the books because he's done it before. He's 0-5 right now.
Defending
champs.
Sale is winless in his six starts to this point. You mentioned 0-5 is a record. Gave up four runs, two of them earned. The defense behind him was not so great. Not good. But we're talking about giving up home runs. We're talking about giving up a triple early.
6.30 ERA.
Here's the good news. Lowered his ERA from 7.43 to 6.30.
Start. Nice.
That is the good news. Here's the other.
Did you check the books on that?
The other good news. If you want, listen, I'm gonna do both here. Take the glass half full first. He got in trouble early, and he still managed to go seven innings.
Quality start.
Okay. Well, no, it's not about that. It's about staying in the game.
Yeah.
He got beat up early, and he managed to stay in the game and went seven innings. He needed 111 pitches to do it, but he stayed in the seven innings. He still struck out eight guys. He walked three in the game, but he didn't get knocked out of the game early, which I will give him the credit for that at the very least. He didn't get knocked out early. They didn't need to go to the bullpen early, but it's not what you need to be getting out of your ace and a guy that you just handed. I don't know how many more times we're going to say this. $145 million to.
Puts him in a different stratosphere. You cast a different light upon the player. I'm sorry. I know it's money. I know it's baseball. And I know these guys are getting paid. And this is what it is. And that's what the market is. And that dictates it. But when you're making $30 million now, you're looked at differently. Especially when you pitch in a city. I just wish he hadn't opened his mouth the way he did there. Because that's a Josh Beckett at the end type quote. And we all know how that ended. You know, for everything that this guy did for them last year, and I guess we got to check the books and go back to last year because that's what you want to be remembered for. It's not going too well for him right now. And that's the one quote that could come back to bite him in the ass.
Well, he wants us to check the books. And yesterday,
we're continually check the books.
Yesterday, he said again that it's a step in the right direction.
Oh, God.
I kid you not. That's what he said. He said, I keep saying the same things over and over. It's a step in the right direction. Nobody wants to hear that, but I'd love to be sitting up here talking about wins and all that. At the end of the day, you've got to do what you got to do. I'm grinding. I'm trying to find a way.
Seems like he's saying that all too often after too many starts where I don't have an answer for it. I'm trying to push through it. We're trying to figure this thing out. I'll be fine. But we're getting deeper and deeper. And I mean, I said, to be fair, at the beginning, I didn't even get on him for the 0-2. So let's get him three times through the rotation, and you start talking about it. We're well past that. And you're looking at lowering of an ERA that's a nice little lowering. What'd you say, 7.4 down to 6.3?
Yeah, 7.5 to under 6.5.
But to your point, though, I mean, to be fair to him, what was it, like third batter, boom, took him deep? I didn't see the game.
It just, yeah, right out of the gate.
Right out of the gate, first inning, gives up a two-run dinger, and he battled and tried to hang in there, and you got no help from the rest of the team.
You're putting your team behind right out of the gate, which sucks. That is the last thing you're supposed to do as an ace.
Yeah.
But offensively, the Red Sox still, they've produced in some games and not in others, and yesterday just happened to be one of the ones that they didn't really put it together in. Two runs. Yesterday.
They haven't won a series at home yet, right, this year?
No, they have not.
Remember all this stuff about the 11 games on the West Coast and we got a bunch of games coming up? Oh, yeah. Don't forget. He added, we haven't, just tell our fans, we haven't played at home yet. We forgot about that one, Beetle. Check the books and we haven't played at home yet. You're at home. You're at home yesterday. That game was at Fenway yesterday, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
Just checking, right.
Yep.
Yeah. You're home.
And they scored three runs over the last 2 days.
Check the book on that one.
Yep, home game.
Three runs between the two weekend games that they played against Tampa Bay. Three total. Not enough. Not producing. Jackie Bradley's now at 150, by the way. We pick on that player just because we don't think there's any real
value.
Offensive value there. But if you really want to start picking on guys.
Didn't he also misplay a ball off the he usually routinely has against the wall?
Xander Bogaerts was 0 for 4 yesterday, dropping him to 263 on the year.
Can we redraft
couple of strikeouts for him.
Our ding-dong daddy pole.
Andrew Benintendi, who's been okay this year, he struck out three times yesterday. Rafael Devers was 2 for 4. Michael Chavis has been good. He's been 300 since he came up.
Can we nickname him Meat?
Thank God. Glad he's here. But you already know you've got two guys at the bottom of the order, whoever your catcher is and Jackie Bradley Jr., who are just big, giant holes in your lineup.
Oh, Sandy Leon has turned around the rest of the staff.
And Steve Pierce is the worst DH in baseball, statistically, batting 108 on the year.
It's a long year. They'll be all right.
Yeah, except we're now on the verge of May 1st. April is almost over. And the Red Sox have not started to dig their way out. They haven't. And I'm still in that, you know, hey, the rest of the league is really bad and you're really good. And so there's plenty of time to turn things around. And there is plenty of time to turn it around. But what's going to be the kick in the ass for this team? What is it going to be? What's going to get them going? Because they haven't yet. Every time you think you might be seeing it, it doesn't happen. It doesn't continue. It doesn't last. And I don't know who that's on. I don't know if it's the players or if it's the manager. I don't know who to blame for that. But it doesn't last. They haven't put it together for any serious stretch yet. 617-779-0985. So mix that into the conversation, too. You get some thoughts on the Red Sox? Happy to hear them. Celtics with a big win in Milwaukee yesterday, game one. Back to that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
That's a 3-inch difference between those two guys.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody. Giannis, Euro step, pass Horford. Tatum comes to the back.
Oh,
yeah. The shot. Horford swats the second one, pounds it into the ground. Out of bounds it goes. Bucks will get it. But Al Horford with a thunderous block on Giannis, and you don't see that often.
Take that with your Greek salad, okay? Slap, pow, down.
All right.
Take that with your Greek salad, says Max.
Max let it fly yesterday.
By the way, Giannis, Greek Orthodox.
Yeah, good for
him. A number of articles sent my way. Since I just wondered, I was like, wait, do we even know? As people are like, oh, happy Easter to him.
Maybe he had too much lamb.
Do you think he was bad yesterday?
No. At the end of the game, he maybe didn't have some lift that he normally has.
He actually hit some threes.
Three? Did he have three threes?
I think he was 3 for 5, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll tell you, if that becomes more consistent and he does more of that and that becomes a regular part of his game, Oh, my God.
Well, if Baines can do it, then he can do it.
Oh, my God. Well, wait a minute.
Stop it.
Stop it.
Jesus.
But Baines can hit threes when he's open.
He hit one yesterday, but he never...
It just looks so
he
awkward.
He doesn't look good doing it.
No, it doesn't.
It's effective. Who cares?
Okay, Aaron Baines is not a three-point shooter. Can we say that?
Neither is Giannis. Giannis isn't going to be a three-point shooter either.
What was the game?
If he could hit two or three a game, that's amazing.
Do you remember the playoff game against, what was it, Washington that they were playing against in the playoffs where Baines got the wide-open ball in the paint and he thought people were around him and they weren't? And he went right up at the rim and, like, stuffed himself on the rim? That was, like, 2 years ago.
Here's what I want to know about that win. Here's what I wonder about that win. Has that changed anyone's opinion about the Celtics? For those of you who needed your opinion changed about the Celtics.
Paul
for
those of you,
for the Dan Shaughnessys of the world.
Paul Pierce.
What day is Shaughnessy in? He's regular day this week, right?
Friday.
Oh, he did. He did switch to Friday. Damn it.
Yeah. We're on Dan's time.
I get it. He's got to travel to
cover
stuff.
They're only playing one game between now and then, so.
But I want to know if the Dan Shaughnessys of the world, and I don't mean to put it on him because I know a lot of Celtics fans that we talked to had some concerns and fears about this particular matchup in this series without Marcus Smart. Are you still worried about that? Are you still worried about not having Marcus Smart? Are you still worried that the Bucks are the best team in the Eastern Conference? Are you still worried about that?
Won by 22.
I was never
like
worried
you won
about
by
that.
40, didn't it?
No, it didn't. You keep saying that.
Yeah,
you,
but they were up
you
so
act
big.
You like it was a blowout. It wasn't. It was a good win.
They were up at the beginning of the game. Like that. What were they up 22?
They
early
put
in
them
game?
Away in the second half.
They closed it, and then they stepped on their throats again at the end of the game. You know, that's like those two big.
Thing
margins.
That worries me is they allowed the Bucks to score 33 in that second quarter. And that second quarter got away from them. They could have put the hammer down much earlier than they did.
But this should at least allow people to see that the Celtics can beat this team. Because there are people that didn't believe it or having a hard time believing it or were afraid of the Bucks.
As somebody put it to...
need to be afraid of the Bucks.
No. Somebody tagged me and I think maybe Zoe. I don't know why Beto got left off of this one on Twitter. But it was something to the effect of... here it is. Randy. How annoying would it be if all that talk the Celtics had about, don't worry, we'll be okay when the playoffs start, wasn't BS, and they legit had that kind of swag for a reason.
Yeah.
Too early to tell, but they're 5-0 in the postseason, dominant. I don't know if annoying is the right word. Surprising. I would be very surprised if that whole, don't worry, postseason, it's what it's all about.
Restructure your regular season basketball viewing appointments.
Yeah, and we're gonna turn it on then, and we thought, oh, okay. So far, isn't that exactly what they've done?
Yeah.
5-0, they haven't lost a game yet. This game was a far more convincing win than I think any of the wins we saw in the last round. And you know why I think that is? Because they rise to the occasion.
See us rise.
See us rise.
See us rise.
See us rise, see us rise guys.
Rise.
Joking part aside, I do. I think that this group, and I think their leaders, I think Al Horford and Kyrie Irving yesterday felt the situation, felt the competition and level of it, and they played it appropriately.
You got any anti-Kyrie emails that they still want to get rid of Kyrie people?
You know, I haven't seen them either.
No calls either.
Where have those been?
Yeah. How about the one fake yesterday? Put the hands in the air and the ball still tripping.
Wait. But since he admitted to being kind of a jackass during the season and I'm going to treat it differently heading into the playoffs, since he came out and said that he was acting like that, yes, he's been great, and nobody's wanted to trade him. But he admitted he was acting like a jackass before that. He came out and said that.
Okay, but people's complaints were not that he's a jackass.
Do you need the player to win?
Is that they are worse with him on the floor? Has his play changed?
Yes, he stepped it up in the playoffs. Absolutely.
Well, but I don't know. So is the entire roster.
Brad even refuted that when we talked to Kyrie. He goes, hey, guys, Kyrie's playing at an all-NBA. I mean, he's...
Of course he has.
He's been playing like this all year. He checked us last week, the head coach. We were, like, questioning some of the stuff of Kyrie and the way he's talked and, you know, taking guys... No, he's been that all year. Watch the games. The head coach, yeah.
He didn't say that.
He did.
Watch the games?
No, he didn't, but that's the way I took it is... Why even question that? Like, he's a freaking top five player.
I mean, we asked him about, is he enjoying himself more now than ever? And he didn't want to touch it. He wouldn't answer.
Yeah.
He said, you got to ask Kyrie him. About that.
But his play is, he's like, check the numbers. He's been unreal.
Somebody asked him about the team communication after the game. Do you want to hear it?
Kyrie or Stevens?
Kyrie.
Okay.
in that locker room all season long, Kyrie, a lot of guys have been saying, look, wait until the playoffs, throughout all the struggles. Is this the type of game that you guys envisioned when you were telling us to come back to you when it came to the playoffs?
Maybe there was a little foreshadowing throughout the regular season, as we were dealing with our ups and downs naturally. But I think that we just have an appreciation for the group that we have. We've spent at least 2 years together now. You know, everyone's relatively healthy other than Smarty. So I think that we have a good rhythm of the expectations for each other and then going out there and executing. Brad does a great job putting us in a great position in terms of the game plan and preparation. So it's our job to go out there and execute. We obviously try to get the best out of each other, and I think that that communication on the bench has improved vastly since the playoffs have started. And just everyone feels good, so I think that helps as well.
What is that supposed to tell me about him staying or going?
It's about him dealing with his teammates. The communication's been better since the playoffs started.
Working through the ups and downs, and we
I feel like everyone's fallen into roles in the playoffs, haven't they?
Yeah, I feel like everyone like gives a damn and is just doing what's in the best interest of winning. All of a sudden,
that's what you even echoed. You know what? Week and a half ago, it's like Gordon Hayward has stepped his game up. Like he's there. He's elevated.
And but it's out the of big, everybody it's their in big the group, three. He's the one that has the gradual incline. He's the one that has gradually gotten better.
Yeah.
He's for a reason, he's coming back off the injury. He's gradually gotten better. Do you feel like he's flipped a switch?
Yeah.
I feel like there was some buildup with him at the end of the regular season. No.
Oh.
Gordon Hayward, the guy you just asked
me
about.
No. He's building up. I thought you were talking about
Kyrie. Feel like there's been a buildup there. Yeah. It's been a gradual build.
It's a confidence builder. Yeah. Yeah, and they talked about the mental coach getting with him and watching your tape and look how good you were. You can do this. You can do it. Yeah, and they got him to that point.
Mike and Quincy still wants Kyrie gone. Mike, go ahead.
What's up, guys?
What's How's it up? Going?
Hey, solid win and everything, but no, I haven't switched. Like, I just feel as though this team is better long term with Brown and Tatum and put Rozier at the point. Just when I think of Kyrie in the whole regular season, they should have home court advantage, but he decided to take every third game off. They play better without him, and all I could see is Allen Iverson. All I can see is Allen Iverson saying, practice. Kyrie's like, regular season? What do you mean regular season? I saved myself in the playoffs.
Oh, he learned that from the greatest player in the world when he said, I've been to, 11 straight NBA finals. You asked me about a regular season game? Yeah, LeBron said that. LeBron, they all say that.
LeBron, they all say this.
I mean, I don't know, Durant thinks that. We think they all think that way? Come on.
Hey, you know what? I think the team will be better off in the future without him. That's my idea.
Yeah. And there's a team like Milwaukee busting their ass with a young, great player, and they're trying to close things out so they're the number one team and have home court for throughout. How'd that go for them? They look gassed. Celtics wore their ass down.
Can't win with a guy like that. He's only the best player on the team.
5-0.
Give him the ball in any situation. He can score. Ah, he only wants to win in the playoffs. Yeah. So far, he's doing it.
That move.
He's still the best player on the team. Still the guy. You put the ball in his hands when it counts. How is it that they're better off without Kyrie?
You didn't hear Terry Rozier?
Brown
and Tatum?
Oh,
come on.
You don't like that he's backing up what he said? I don't like the underlying truth of it either.
Yeah.
That it really doesn't matter.
It's like you're selling your soul.
I don't like that. What kind of message is that?
Yeah.
You know, to a fan
sucks.
Who goes to a regular season game.
It's a green team grinder soul. If this is the way we're going to build it, we're going to get better. We're going to give young kids. We're going to dive on the ball. Grit. We're going to have grit and grinders.
We don't need that
superstar diva.
You have to think differently now seeing it, though, don't you? Because we hadn't seen it before. The only time we'd seen him in the playoffs is with LeBron.
That step back fadeaway.
Now we're seeing it.
He kept saying it and kept saying it, but we haven't. It's like, show me. Okay, show me. Now he's shown us. Now we know what he's capable of. Now you can think differently.
But those who weren't thinking along these lines already, Mike and Quincy, you should think differently now is my point. I was always on the Kyrie train.
I don't know how you call up now and say, oh, I can't wait till he gets out of here. The team is going to be so much better without him.
I will say this, though.
What?
You do have the right to reserve judgment. This thing's not over yet.
Yeah, they haven't won anything.
Who knows where it goes? They haven't won anything yet.
Yeah, they beat the Pacers.
You know, they've won a game in the second round.
The offense
without
is there.
Oladipo.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the offense is there. The nice thing about you see him get back, and you see the intensity in his eyes, and he's bent over, and he's pointing, and he's trying spacing, and they're trying to play. He's trying to attempt to play defense.
All I know,
which is a great part of his game,
is if you take Rozier and you plug him in for Kyrie, you lose so much offensively. It's not even funny. It's not even funny. Did you see the 3-on-1 that the Celtics had yesterday at the end of the first quarter when Rozier had the clear path to the basket and he turned around and chucked it to Gordon Hayward, and Hayward then ended up taking an offensive foul? They had a 3-on-1
pass.
They set him up for that charge.
I texted him. I was like, yeah, Rozier's having a nice little game today, isn't he? Love him.
Oh, the one where Hayward almost blew it.
Playoff Terry.
Hey. I didn't know what you were referencing with that text. Now I get it.
I was worried he Gordon Hayward almost blew his knee out.
Holy
crap. Did you see Hayward's leg stick, though,
on that charge? What is this? They had a 3-on-1. How does that happen? They've got three players. They've got one. It's a 3-on-1. It's a fast break situation. Rozier is at the head of the group. He's got the basketball. He turns around and chucks it into the chest of an unexpected, like Gordon Hayward, who didn't expect it, and then he ends up committing an offensive foul.
It's almost
3-on-1 fast break. How the hell does that happen?
I don't know. And he went and apologized to the ref. Hey, ref, like, I'm sorry. Good call. I didn't expect the ball.
Do you know how unpolished that is? Like, the difference between a guy like Kyrie and Rozier, just in that one play, it sums it up. 617-779-0985. Hardy has headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times. Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
Middleton straight away against Morris. He'll try the left side, stumble in the paint, fall down, but throw it out towards Giannis, who drives, had nowhere to go, and Horford punches the ball away because Middleton has taken up the paint. Horford leads a 3-on-1, lobs it for Tatum, not in shooting position. Celtics give up the 3-on-1. They drop back to Kyrie. Zips an entry towards Morris. He's got it, elevates and slams. Timeout, Mike Budenholzer.
That was an ugly girl with a mask on. Somebody pulled it off, she became pretty as they finally completed the play.
Max is in playoff form, by the way.
Oh, my God.
Playoff Max is here.
He so that line day,
and the one we listened to earlier about take that with your Greek salad. Those I heard them both. I listened to a lot of the game yesterday due to, as Zoe knows, lacrosse scheduling.
Yes.
Girls lacrosse scheduling on Sundays.
Thank you, sports people, for but, kids.
So I got a chance to enjoy a lot of Grandia Max yesterday, and they're good. Man, Max is something else, man.
I'm not talking. Yeah, never mind.
What?
Never. Nope.
Never. What?
Nothing. I don't want to bring attention to it. That's all.
Oh, I know what you're going to
mention. That's all. No, I would agree. It was already done today.
I would agree with your decision to. I don't know. Yep. We'll move on.
I don't know.
We'll move on. We're going to go to the calls.
No, I don't know.
Good?
Yes.
Darnell is in the car. Darnell.
Beto, I heard you say about 10 minutes ago that Giannis didn't have a bad game.
Yeah, I didn't think he was. Okay, go ahead.
He was 7 of 21. He was a plus-minus of minus 24. He was 5 of 10 from the free throw line. He couldn't consistently score on anybody. Yeah, he hit a couple threes, but that's not usually what he does. If you take away two of those, he had like 15 points. So if Giannis didn't have a bad game yesterday, what is a bad game for a guy like that? Because there's no way he's going to have a game where he scores like 4 points. He's too involved.
Yeah, he's still the best guy on his team, though, by far. He's still the best day on his team.
It's fun to watch.
Thank you.
No, I mean, your points. It's foul points, yeah. Minus 24. But he didn't sell like a minus 24.
He didn't suck. I mean, he wasn't a total wreck out there.
We sit here and go for Bruins numbers when it's minus. Yeah, okay, they were bad, but it didn't feel like they were like 4-goal bad.
All right, fine. Then you know what? For him, he had a bad day. And for him,
7 of 21 is a bad day.
Okay, for him, it's always 20-plus points on a bad day.
And if you didn't have him yesterday attempting to do what he did, you would have lost by 50.
Right. That's sort of my point about that.
That's the way I felt watching.
Like, do you know how hard you have to look to sort of put your losses on that guy? On that team.
I just remember everybody else at the start of that game missing wide-ass open, long-ass threes, and it was ka-tink, ka-tink, ka-tink. And then he said, screw it. All right, I'm just going to drive.
Of the bad days on the Bucks roster, where do you put his? And again, this is one of my fears about this series. They're not going to shoot 34%.
Right.
Yeah. Right? I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they just do. Maybe that's what they do.
Well, okay.
Despite the fact that they were a team.
Okay. If we had a superstar that, like they have, and say it was Kyrie that hit 7 of 21 and was a minus 24 when he was on the court, I guess we'd be killing him locally at that point. You just know it's going to come with them. They're the best team in the East.
They shot 43% as a team in the regular season. They're a team that won 60 games. They don't suck like this, is my point about that. So they're going to start hitting shots.
But if you're...
All right, so Giannis was, as he said, 7 of 21. The free throw thing is bad.
Yeah.
Like, you can't be him and go to the free throw line and suck.
Right.
But anyway, Brooke Lopez, 1 of 5. Eric Bledsoe, 1 of 5. Brown, 1 of 7.
The Brooke Lopez shot that hit the bottom of the net without hitting the rim.
Oh, my God. How is that even possible?
He took it from, like, 3 feet beyond the arc, too.
How much money has he made in his career? That's stiff.
Too much.
I know. Lopez wins. Stanford.
Oh. They shot so poorly yesterday. That can't continue. So that's going to change. It's going to make things a lot closer. I still think the Celtics are the better team.
Yeah, and Paul Pierce knows it, too. And that's, you just scared the hell out of you if you're a Milwaukee fan. Like, because, okay, this is a bad matchup for Milwaukee. That game right there just won a series. Like, yeah, they're done. I don't know where they go from here. Like, wow. That guy knows it. He could tell. And they're just going to beat the hell out of him. They're going to beat the hell out of the Greek Freak. They're going to just keep sending people
on the plus minus. What did he say? What? He's minus 24.
Minus 24. He's minus 24.
They had one player on their roster who was plus yesterday. It was Brooke Lopez was a plus two. That was it.
Here's why he was minus 24. When he was out of the game, Mirotić hit three threes in the second quarter that gave him a quick 9 points. And
when they were
that
down
screws
22.
Up with the plus minus there, yeah. That's when he came back in the second quarter.
Keith and Lowell on Giannis. Hey, Keith.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you can't say he wasn't horrible yesterday. I mean, 22 points on 21 shots, like the call before said, 5 of 10 from the line, 2 assists. I mean, when Milwaukee's at their best, he's penetrating, he's looking for guys, finding them. I mean, I just don't understand how you can't say he didn't have a bad game, especially with all the hype about him being the MVP and, you know, he's a surefire MVP, Milwaukee's for real,
Milwaukee's for real.
No, you're right. He had a bad game for him. For him, he had a bad game.
Yeah. Guys, stay corrected.
Maybe that's why Celtics fans do fear the Bucks.
Because what if he's good?
I like the Celtics fans coming out today. In their chest out a little bit.
Jim likes it.
Feeling good about themselves. It's good.
Well, I don't know if that should make you feel good, though, if you think he had a terrible game. Do you think he had a terrible game because the
Celtics
stopped
fans are
him? Because that is not what I saw. Did you see him having a terrible game because the Celtics were too much for him to handle?
I think Al had his number. Yeah,
I thought they played him well.
At times,
Budenholzer bitched about not getting enough calls. So they played him tough, physical, and the refs let him play physical.
Al played well. You know who didn't against him? You know who I think at times doesn't have a prayer in stopping him? Aaron Baines. Because he got beat badly. I mean, there was even a play where Giannis stepped out on the baseline, but he repeated it again minutes later, where he just blows right by him, and Baines has no shot at stopping him.
The hope with Baines is that he bodies him enough to get him a little bit, just to beat him up a little bit in the series, because he was banging on him in the posts. Every time he got in the post, he'd make sure he put his body in there. I'll take the fouls if that'll help.
Zach and Randolph with the final call of the day. Go ahead, Zach.
Hey, Zach.
So, hey, guys. Good afternoon.
Good evening.
So what we're forgetting to talk about is Kyrie's apology to the Celtics team that has led to all of this. He was a cancer to the team and then admitted that he made mistakes. And then watch what happens after that. The Celtics want to run. And we're going to win it all.
So you're talking about that flight out west.
Yeah, the come to Kyrie moment.
Mm.
Yeah. Where it all changed.
I think Celtics fans are torn right now because they're 5-0 with Kyrie being hot. And they just really don't want him here. But they love the build.
Well, there's a fair number.
They love the young player, but what do we do here?
No, I think so. I think you can live with the regular season a-hole if you know this is coming in the playoffs.
I guess.
And we didn't know that this was coming in the playoffs.
That's fair.
Unproven at that point.
That's fair.
I know that's how I feel anyways. I can deal with the regular, with the play. I dealt with all the crap with KG and Pierce and Ray Allen and those regular seasons that they finished with the four seed because I knew it was coming in the playoffs.
Yeah. Today's Takeaway is coming up next, and it features more fresh new sound from Jim Irsay.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
They give.
Give it to me.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's Takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, today's takeaways are brought to you by Waking 180 Weight Loss. No gimmicks, no supplements, and no long hours at the gym. No gym louth, gymnasium. If you're trying to lose weight, choose the proven long-term solution for weight loss. Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Gymnasium.
Not spelled the same, though, is it? Different.
What was that from, Jim? Gymnasium? Oh, it's a Jungle Oats song, right? Hey, I'm hanging out here with Gymnasium. It was Jungle O, that's right.
You're probably right, but I don't know how you
I think it was
that.
Gymnasium. Yeah, I remember weird stuff. Okay, let's go.
Yeah,
let's get
definitely.
Today, speaking of weird.
Today, Jim Irsay, we heard from him in his press conference, his post-draft press conference.
More?
He feels in his heart, he feels a certainty in his heart that the Lombardi will rise again on Main Street in Indianapolis. He also, of course, called his draft picks again this year. Have a listen.
Hey, Rock, how are you, man? Jim Irsay here. Are you kidding me? Are you ready to come in and win a Lombardi? You got to get out there and prove it every single day in practice. So God bless you. Congratulations to you and your family.
You know, like it's supposed to be an ultimate pinnacle as a player, as a... You worked 18 years of your life, you know, to get into college, to be a Division I athlete. And then your day comes when you get drafted. And then there's
A-Rock.
And the first call you get is from a freaking moron on the other end of the line. Hey,
A-Rock, how are you, man? Jim Irsay here. Are you kidding me? Are you ready to come in and win a Lombardi?
Yeah, I used to have a couple rocks in my pocket.
Oh, man.
Yeah, crystallized rocks. You got to work for it, though, kid.
That's a great name.
It's not given to you. You got to earn it.
Kids on the phone, your mom and dad. Oh, who was God. That? Some moron. Doesn't matter.
Some old guy.
Some idiot.
I got punked.
Don't worry about it. Oh, that's our say. Also today, Zoe, you were quoting the movie Entrapment, were you not?
I think so.
Yeah, we were talking about the one draftee who said that the kid from Denmark, the Patriots drafted,
right.
Said that as a kid, he wanted to be a French jewel thief.
Yeah.
That was his dream job. And that got Zoe down the road of quoting, I believe, word for word, Sean Connery. Speaking to Catherine Zeta-Jones in the movie Entrapment.
I'd rather watch the Pierce Brosnan movies. He's an art thief, plays an art thief.
How about the Sean Connery and Catherine Zeta-Jones?
That's another good one. That's she had to do with all the lasers when she was
well,
walking.
She had to like.
I can do this blindfolded now.
Really?
Make sure that you duck down far enough to when we cut the wire.
Is this absolutely necessary?
Yes.
Do it on the count of three. And I would go one, two, three. We cut on three.
Because you won't be able to see them. And I
you will.
Will.
That was when.
Verbatim Hold according on. To the script.
Trust me.
You know what it was?
What?
They were hammering something or drilling something in time with the clock chiming.
Oh, yes.
And it was
I got to go back and watch this.
It was like
again.
A pneumatic thing that would like push.
Yep.
Boom.
And it's almost like they did boom. This Escape from Alcatraz is the same thing. When the lightning and thunder hit, he would take that rock and hit the pipe to break it.
That was Shawshank Redemption. How do you not remember that? Right. That's the movie you quote Jesus all the time. Christ. That's Andy in timing out the rock on the pipe with the thunder.
Yes. And the lightning. And the thunder.
Well, lightning doesn't make any noise, song. But the thunder does.
Thunder does, yes.
Thunder.
Thunder makes
thunder from down under.
What kind of rain have we had this month? How many days have it, has
28
it
of 31.
20 of 28 days.
Wow.
So far.
I hate it.
There was a May a few years ago where we got rain in 25 days in May. So there's no reason to believe it's going to stop.
April showers bring May flowers.
Yeah, well, sometimes it rains all during the month of May around here, too. Just get ready for
it. And what do May flowers bring?
Pilgrims.
So is our special friend. He always has been. We briefly today recapped our trip to the Garden on Saturday
night. Good times. Good times. Go Bees.
Three of us went to the Bruins game. And that was something else. Here's a recap.
I'm going to go to the raw bar and order some oysters. I'm going to have some oysters. Bring some of that horseradish, a little water, some lemon. It's nice.
We met a couple of really nice ladies next door.
Sure
in the suite next
Peter.
Door.
A salsa tower.
The regular salsa. What else was in there? Guacamole.
Pizza's like little thin, not enough cheese on it.
Caesar salad was nice.
The shrimp was at the raw bar.
Those are good oysters there.
You weather people, let's go. Let's get on this. Change this weather. I haven't even heated the pool yet, but yet I had steam coming off this morning. Pool problems. Robot went too. I told, had a new robot.
I told T-Bone. T-Bone is definitely the biggest Bruins fan on this show. And I told T-Bone, I said, T-Bone, you would have hated us on Saturday night.
Not have been able to
I said, we went out Felder to eat and drink and socialize. And what do you know? A hockey game broke
out. This booth's great. Look at that cute little fridge.
We had a hell of a time.
Yeah, sure.
Hell of a time.
Yeah. So the fans weren't
Where were you when Columbus scored the OT winner?
Me?
Yeah.
I was on my floor, in my living room, my kids. We made it home before the second overtime.
Your kids stayed up for that?
Yeah, let them stay up. We listened. What was cool is you could, my Xfinity app, we streamed it, and they were watching on the way home in the back seat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go, Pastrnak.
Hardy, you make it into your house for the OT winner?
Of course you did.
You're in bed.
Yep. So whatever draft analysis you listen to over the weekend, you don't need it anymore. The Felger and Mazz Big Board will be officially hired by either NFL Network or ESPN moving forward. Draft numbers, by the way, through the roof for the 3-day event.
Yeah, big numbers.
Oh my God.
You know what else did big numbers? Both Bruins and Celtics over the weekend. I'll tell you what, I'll pass those along to the boys with Felger and Mazz.
Nice.
They can give you those ratings coming up. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG. It's Felger and Mazz, 95 The Sports Hub.
For 6 months, the Milwaukee Bucks have cut a swath through the NBA. The runaway best team in the league have yet to face adversity until today. The Celtics' hope was to come here and punch him in the mouth. Instead, they drop an anvil on their head. They dominate game one, and they win it by a final of 112-90 and take a stunning 1-0 lead in this best of seven Eastern Conference semifinals.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the program. Felger and Maserati on a re-entry Monday. Hi, Anthony.
Good, you?
Peachy, thank you so much. So, re-entry Monday means everything from the weekend, which includes the...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.